The text that I'm going to be preaching on this morning is taken from our epistle lesson of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our series is about confronting the lies that we tell ourselves, and the lie this morning that we oftentimes ask and say is that I'm the only one going through what I'm going through, and no one cares, including God. One of the reasons so many people struggle in silence is because they believe they're the only one suffering and that other people around them would not understand. Or even worse, will judge them if they ever found out what they were going through and what they were doing. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that we always have someone who understands, and that's Jesus himself. And we can bring him literally anything. So the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, how confident are you in your faith and walk with Jesus? Again, the more confident we are in our faith, the more we will know that we're not alone, because Jesus is going through life's challenges with us. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when life's challenges and struggles try to break us and tear us down, bring us closer to you. Remind us of your love and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord, and empower us with his grace and presence, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever thought to yourselves that you're the only person struggling in life? Do you think that, again, your depression, your anxiety, your past traumatic experiences, daily issues and problems that you face are only unique to you? All of us at one time or another think that way, even I do. It's human nature to do that, thinking that we're the only ones going through this and nobody else will understand or be able to walk with us and to be able to help us. Because again, you're the one going through it right now or have gone through it in the past, therefore no one else is going to understand. Do you also begin to question God's presence when you need him the most and wonder where in the world is he? Do you ever wonder if he cares about you personally, especially with all the people in this world and everything that's going on and has been going on since the time of creation? The writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us of our great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He then encourages us to hold firmly to the faith that we profess. I want to take a little closer look here at the word high priest. It's a term which only the book of Hebrews ever applies to Jesus the Christ. In fact, the thought of Jesus as our high priesthood is a central theme of the book of Hebrews. And again, the priesthood was basic to Judaism. Every Jewish person was very familiar with the concept of a priest who officiated the Jerusalem temple and the high priest who led them in their service. And by the way, here's an interesting fact. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that approximately 9,000 priests were working at the temple in Jerusalem. 9,000. Can you imagine having 9,000 pastors here at Royal Redeemer? Yeah, I can't either. It gets a little bit crazy even with the three of us. 9,000. And if you think that's high, that's not nearly the amount. Add another 1,000 men to that number concerning the Jewish royal guards that were also working there. They had more royal guardsmen than they actually had priests. And that's because of the flow of money. 100% of Jerusalem's economy went through that building. About 90 to 95% of all of Israel's economy for the nation flowed through that building. Now you get a little bit of an understanding and also a better view and taste of why Jesus overthrows the tables of the money changers on that very first part of Holy Week. It was gold versus God. And the Jewish people were being cheated by the Jewish leadership. If you were a Jew and you were from the outskirts of Israel and you came to Jerusalem for the Passover, and you wanted to go ahead and make an offering, no problem, but here's the issue. The temple will not accept your currency if it's not Jewish shekels. If it was currency from pagan nations, you have to change and exchange that money for Jewish shekels. No problem. The temple is able to do that. What they're not going to tell you is that they're going to go ahead and charge more. They will give you less Jewish shekels than the amount of money that you're giving to them is worth. And oh, by the way, now you need an animal to sacrifice. If you came a long way, you have to buy it from them too. No problem, they have it. If you want a lamb or a dove, they got it for you. But again, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a whole lot more than what that animal's worth. This is what Jesus was dealing with on Holy Week. And this is when he said, no, this is my Father's house. The other problem, the issue is, when it comes to Judaism, especially there in Israel and in Jerusalem, every person there was born and raised with it. So their Jewish faith is not just their faith, it's their nationality. There is no separation of state and religion. It's one and the same. So if you are a Jew, you're a Jew from the inside out, ever since you were born to the time that you die. So all you're taught and told about is your culture and your faith of Judaism. So now the question is, was the argumentation for backsliding from Christianity back to Judaism the excuse that Christianity has no high priest? Well, listen and learn from the author here in the book of Hebrews. The author says we have a great high priest, not just a high priest, but a great one. This was never ever said of any Old Testament high priest that he was great. Not even Aaron, Moses' brother, who was the very first high priest of Israel. Hence the reason for our Old Testament lesson. This is only said of Jesus, because he's the one that has gone into heaven. So that begs the question, what about his invisibility? Did it bother them? Did they prefer a visible priest from Aaron's line going on the Day of Atonement with the blood of sacrifice across that temple courtyard into the holy place, and then going where they cannot be seen beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies? Again, our Old Testament lesson this morning from Leviticus 16. Well, if so, remember that God's high priest has done more than pass through temple chambers like an earthly priest who is seen today and dead tomorrow. He has gone through the heavens to the throne room of God, to the throne of God. And he's there to live and rule forever. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, his invisibility is actually his advantage for him as well as for you and for me. Because his absence shows his greatness. The sacrifice that he offered, the blood he carried to the mercy seat of God, is his very own blood. And his sacrifice that he made was perfect. He only needed to do it once and bring it one time, not every year like earthly high priests with animal blood. And we know that God the Father accepted his sacrifice has been seen already in both his resurrection as well as his ascension. And his ascension is never ever talked enough inside of the church, because it answers the questions pretty much literally of everything, especially when it comes to the power behind the means of grace. The beauty about our Lord's ascension is we no longer need to go looking for him. He now comes to us through the means of grace, through the Bible, baptism, and Holy Communion, as well as through other people, including you and me. So again, ever feel alone as if no one cares about you? Ever think no one will ever understand what you're going through or even how to help you? Jesus does. As a matter of fact, he understands us better than we understand ourselves. He knows and has taken your pain on himself through his atoning death and resurrection. And he not only sympathizes with us, but he also empathizes with us. Big difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is go down to the pit with a person and stay there with them. Empathy is go down to the pit with a person and pull them up. Totally different. And that's what our Lord has done. He empathizes with us. And he did it by becoming one of us and one with us in flesh and blood. And from his earthly experience as a man, he knows exactly what we face, and his heart can sympathize with us while his actions empathize for us. And that's the reason why he now empowers us to be the best that we can be as living sacrifices, as St. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12. Because you and I are not dead sacrifices. We are living sacrifices for him to other people in our lives. This is why we can help other people go through the issues that they are going through, just like somebody else has come to help us. There's a reason why I'm a counselor as well as a pastor. I spent 9 years in counseling. Finally, one day, my counselor looked at me and says, "Go back to school." He said, "You need to become a counselor." He says, "You're already doing it. You're just not getting paid for it." I started laughing. He said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Everything I've gone through in my life," I said, "there's no way I could be a counselor." He started laughing. I said, "What are you laughing about?" He said, "For the very reason you've gone around the block of life several times in your life, and because of your past and what you've gone through, you'll make a very good counselor. Go back to school, become one." Okay. And that's what I call my midlife crisis. Here I am. Did it at the age of 45. Graduated in counseling as well as ministry. The two go hand in hand. That's why I'm able to bring Jesus to my clients and introduce those that have no idea who he is to Jesus himself. And that's also the other reason why I could reconnect people who are Christian, that are my clients, that are struggling, saying, "How do I get help and how do I get back?" Well, let me share with you the gospel, and then we go from there. And by doing that, I walk with them. And as time goes on and the Holy Spirit works upon them and through them, they heal. And I keep telling them, "I'm just along for the ride. Just enjoy it." We all are, all by God's grace. But we are living sacrifices. Your identity and mine are found in Jesus through holy baptism, where God claims us as his child. That's why we can now be the best person and child of God that he has created us and made us to be. We can now find ourselves and see ourselves from our Heavenly Father's point of view. Because when you see your life through his eyes, life gets better. Because he's elevated us to where we belong with him in heaven, through Jesus, our great high priest. It happens already while you and I are here on earth. And when you see yourself through his eyes, you see yourself as you were meant to be, a loved and loving child of God. That's the reason why Jesus, again, is literally the great high priest for now and all eternity. Again, the world tells us we find our self-esteem and self-worth inside of ourselves. The world says, look at your past accomplishments, look at your positive traits, and look at your personal skills. The book of Hebrews reminds us that our self-esteem and our self-worth comes from outside of us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We see His accomplishments for us, His positive traits and personal skills, both as God and also as man for you and for me. And that's the reason why you and I are more than just survivors. We are thrivers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our past accomplishments, our positive traits, and our personal skills, that does not come from you and from me. It comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We have literally what the world is aching for and will never find. Again, being sinful people, a part of our sinful nature in this world, is very natural to focus on what we cannot do, or to blame other people or play victim to our circumstances in life. But Jesus comes and He raises us to a higher calling and a higher place with Him in heaven. And by His Holy Spirit, He empowers us with individual gifts and talents to use in His kingdom here on earth until the day He calls us to our heavenly home. Again, as Jesus made the invisible God visible, we too make the invisible Jesus visible to other people. And this is why we are encouraged to stand firm within the Christian faith and not to waver and to go with the world. Again, it is God's throne we can approach, and we can approach it with confidence, because that is the seat of the infinite majesty and holy justice of God. And with Christ Jesus as our great high priest standing there, it now becomes a throne of grace where we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, again, as the writer of Hebrews tells us. Because of Jesus, the great high priest, we can now boldly come to confess our sins and receive forgiveness, to pour out our hearts of sadness and be comforted, to lay down our weaknesses and be strengthened, to ask questions and to receive answers. To this throne of grace we boldly come in the name of our great high priest, Jesus. And He now empowers us to be the best person, to approach with confidence and be the best person, the best father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, classmate, worker, neighbor that we can be to other people around us. Yes, we still have our questions. We still oftentimes will wonder, why in the world are we going through this and where is God? But we have the confidence that we know that we don't go through this alone, that He's there. Again, watch the people in your own life. The reason why I'm a pastor, why I'm also a counselor, is because when I play my life back in my head, every place I needed help, there was somebody that was there. Somebody to hold my hand and to walk with me, to strengthen me, to encourage me, and to help me along, and to become the person that I am now today. All because of the strength and the power and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. We can achieve great things in life as we believe great things about our Lord and Savior, who He is and what He's done for us, as well as what He continues to do for you and for me each and every day of our lives. So approach God's throne with confidence, knowing always God's grace and goodness in Jesus, our great high priest, will carry you through today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.